Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. I'm joggling. You wouldn't understand. Joggling is very difficult. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
I was born here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here.
You should still probably be breastfed, let's be honest. Our amazing producers. How about the very handsome RJ Santillo?
Homered, first ever three-game hit as a Met.
A very rare three-game hit. How about Raymond Santiago, the guy we all love and adore?
I'm like this bunch.
Go ahead, Ray. You take over.
I'm sorry.
Don't pay attention to me. Halfway into a point, and you
said
just,
two words.
You jumped me. Go ahead.
You go.
No,
it's your show.
Is it, though?
You two are a real treat. And, of course, as always, we're rolling with the company. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
They haven't been the Hawkettes.
So nasty. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. It's every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
He's a hardball.
Oh, yes, I am. Thank you, Omar. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today. Yeah, we're clearly ready. Let's start with the good. Yankees with a great win in the series finale against Cleveland. Willie Calhoun tied it up in the ninth, and Jose Trevino walked it off in the tenth. Mets get swept out of Detroit in their doubleheader, their first time being swept in a doubleheader since September 26, 2020. Ottavino blew it in Game 1, and Scherzer stunk in Game 2. The Mets have lost 8 of their last 10. Great. Now, Devils held to one shot in the first period. Akira Schmid pulled after falling behind 3-2-0. They lose Game 1 in Carolina. Wow, we're going to hear from a lot of people. We're going to hear from Brian Cashman. We're going to hear from New York Rangers head coach Gerard Gallant. My quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, Sauce Gardner. We got stuff you missed at 9:15, and as always on the Thursday at 7:45, we have observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to address something. I know there are times in the show that we may lash out.
At what point did I not say that he stunk?
Sometimes we snap.
You should, okay. Dude, I'm telling you, I've played them. You should see these people.
They take it serious, right?
The round takes six hours.
Finish the story! Oh, my God!
There are even times that we can be flat out mean.
Who's throwing you?
I don't know.
Crane.
Not always supportive, maybe.
I've tightened the belt a little bit in recent months.
It'd be nice if you could tighten your belt.
Try to get each other fired.
You got
to
fire any one of us on the show.
Well, I'd fire Ray.
Even worse, predicting each other's deaths?
I just hope that you're never home alone when it happens.
But when the light shines brightest, the four horsemen come together and
we
magic
are New
happens.
York! And we love basketball. We're going to take it all because we're the New York Knicks.
Beautiful. Here he is. Sometimes crazy. Apparently been breastfed. Love of my life. David Hugh Rothenberg.
Oh, that was nice. That was lovely. It had highs, it had lows. I laughed, I cried. It took 3.5 minutes, which means I don't have to speak for an extra bit of time. So thank you for all that you do. That was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank Raymond. It was a lot of Raymond in there.
Yeah. You know what's amazing, though? It's never nasty towards you. It's huge, huge walloping shots at me. Some side shots at RJ and Raymond, and you're like the conquering hero when those opens happen.
No, I said juggling.
Yeah, but one little juggling is nothing.
What?
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. Now, this portion of the show, my friend, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop AllAmericanFord.net. That, in fact, is AllAmericanFord.net. So, I was despondent on Tuesday with the Rangers' loss. I'm angry today. I'm literally and legitimately furious. That is embarrassing for the Mets yesterday. To go into Detroit to have a 6-5 lead in the eighth inning against a team that can, or 5-4 lead in the eighth inning against a team that cannot score, and Ottavino to come in, hit a guy. This Haas has 5 RBIs, home run. I don't even know who he is. You lose the first game. And then you think to yourself, okay, you know what? I got Scherzer. I got Verlander. I'll win 2 out of 3, and we'll get out of this series and not embarrass ourselves. Well, too late for that, because Scherzer goes out, and I don't know what the hell that was. Because I was of the mindset, Rick, when Grassi was coming around with his, well, I think Scherzer's done. I was like, this is stupid. Like, why would you say this? Boy, he looked awful last night.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's not good at all. Coming off of, you know, coming off the sticky stuff situation, the 10-game suspension, high hopes we had when he would come back. But, I mean, couldn't locate his pitches. Velocity was down. Spin rate was down. I mean, it has you starting to question. I know after the game he was talking about, you know, I just wanted to make sure I got through a start healthy, so let's check that box. But it has not been a good start to the season for him.
No.
At all.
Now, I didn't like when Grassi came out with his, after he threw like 5 shutout innings of like, I think he might be done. I thought that was silly. But you watch him last night against that lineup. You understand that lineup has the least amount of runs scored in baseball, right?
Tell Eric Haas that.
Eric Haas looked like Mike Trout in that doubleheader yesterday.
Eric Haas was awesome yesterday in that doubleheader.
He was awesome. Everyone. I mean, guys, you never heard of any of these guys on the Tigers. They're smashing the ball all over the place against Scherzer. There were like 9 people in the crowd, so it's not even like there's any kind of a home field advantage. That yesterday was an embarrassment. We talk about the Yankees, and I think fairly we beat up the Yankees, but yesterday the Mets, it's pathetic, is what it was. Really pathetic.
Yeah, listen, I told you. I mean, that was the first time they had been swept in a doubleheader since September 2020. And now they lost 8 of the last 10.
And that's when there were 7 inning doubleheaders.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, too. I mean, I was going through some stuff this morning before the show. If I were to ask you, what is the way this team is constructed, yep, what is supposed to be the strength of this team?
Starting pitching.
Okay. So, and I know Verlander hasn't pitched, and Scherzer, you know, Scherzer was suspended.
And no Quintana, too.
Right. And Carrasco and everything else. But the Mets starting pitching ranks so far this season. This is in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Innings per start, they are tied for 26th. ERA, 25th. WHIP, which is walks plus hits per inning, 27th. Opposing batting average, 20th. Walks per 9, 30th. Quality starts, we've only had 4, which is tied for 28th. I mean, that's not...
It's pathetic. It's bad.
That's not how this team is supposed to.
And it's not like you... I mean, think who you played. It's not like you've gone... You played the Marlins a bunch already. And I know that they're you know, decent this year, but it's not like you look at that lineup and it's daunting. You've played Oakland. Now you've played Detroit. You know, it's not like you've had 14 games against Atlanta early on in the season. San Francisco, not great. So, I mean, we'll get to the Yankees, too, and what Brian Cashman had to say and that big win yesterday. But for me... That was a really, really tough Mets day to watch.
No, you could say, I mean, it's worse than tough. I mean, it was awful. And it puts so much... Now, he's not going to feel the pressure, but we will, and we start taking these phone calls tomorrow if Verlander doesn't go out and pitch well today.
Well, he better. But here's the thing also. Forget about pitching well. Yeah, there's 2 things that have to happen today. He needs to pitch well, and they need to win. You can't get swept in Detroit.
No, but if he doesn't pitch well, I mean, if he doesn't pitch well...
Yeah, but he could give you... I mean, Rodriguez is a good pitcher, right? You look at Eduardo Rodriguez's ERA, it's a little over 2. So Verlander could pitch well and give you 7 innings of 2-run ball or 6 innings of 1-run ball, and you could still wind up losing that baseball game.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And you're not wrong. You can't get swept by Detroit. But, I mean, if what you just said... I mean, listen to what you just said. You're going up against a good pitcher.
Yes.
So if he doesn't pitch well... Like, Scherzer did not pitch well.
Scherzer was awful.
Hasn't pitched. We haven't seen him yet. Like, this is a... It's start one. I get it. But as far as the Mets fan is concerned, and I'm sure the phone calls we'll take tomorrow, if he doesn't look good, I mean, there'll be panic.
I mean, we sit here and we beat up the Yankees, and I think rightfully so. Yankees have a better record than the Mets right now, and the Yankees are playing with a minor league lineup.
Well, that Yankee win yesterday was huge, in my opinion.
It was a big win.
Especially with the day coming off and the series coming up against
right, because if you would have lost that, and you were right there, right? I mean, that bizarre play in the ninth inning, kind of for left, how he lets the guy get on second base is amazing to me.
Well, he doesn't play left field.
Well, that was obvious.
He's not a left field. That's his first start in left field. Well,
it was obvious. Because to let him get on second base, I mean, and then I have never, ever in my life seen an outfield to go after a ball harder than Harrison Bader did that bloop to center field.
Well, he's trying to make the catch. I mean, in theory, if that's an experienced left fielder, he probably pulls up and lets Bader, center fielders have the right of way in the outfield, lets Bader actually attack the ball and not take his head off.
Yes. So Yankees would have, if they wouldn't have come back and won that game, and good on them, because Clase is a good pitcher and they did a good job tying that game up. If they would have lost that game, they'd be 9.5 out. You lose 2 out of 3 to Tampa. Now you're coming back and you're 10.5 behind them. So that's a huge win for the Yankees. But it just goes to show you, we sit here and spend so much time on the Yankees and what's wrong. Well, you know, maybe we have to start doing that with the Mets. Because the Yankees, as beaten up as they are physically, have a better record than the Mets do right now.
Yeah, they're finding ways, man. I mean, that's all you can do until you start to get some reinforcements. I mean, Brian Cashman talked about it yesterday, just kind of treading water. How about the other thing, though, too? I mean, the decision to go to Clay Holmes in that spot. Marinaccio, I mean, I get he had pitched the night before, but he's cruising, puts away 5 in a row. You bring in Clay Holmes, and it lights whatever it is. I mean, you saw Hicks do the same thing in left field. IKF in left field makes that play. We're not talking about it, but still, he decides to bring Clay Holmes in. They take the lead, and luckily for Aaron Boone, because he would have got destroyed today, they find a way to win that game.
Good on them. Really, good on them. And it's not like they hit the ball, right? I mean, they barely score runs, but to go and win 2 out of 3 against Cleveland, it's a good job by the Yankees. So we destroyed them, and again, I think rightfully so, but today you have to give them some credit for fighting back and scrapping back and winning that game. Let's hear from Max Scherzer. Let's hear what he has to say, and then we'll hear from Buck Showalter as well. Scherzer, how did the suspension time impact you?
It's just the rhythm. You know, when you pitch out a stretch, that's the, you know, you got to be synced up with everything to be able to be quick to the plate and execute where you want. You know, I felt like when I was quick to the plate, you know, I just flattened out. You know, the ball was running back to the middle part of the plate. So anytime you throw in the middle part of the plate, you get beat. So that's just the way it goes.
By anybody. I mean, even a team that barely hits the ball, you got beat by them. Also says he didn't
have... Well, but here's the thing, though, too. I mean, this is not somebody that's... He's almost... What is he? Almost 39 years old. Like, and his velocity is down. You start missing with average velocity, you're going to get smashed.
That's exactly by anybody,
right?
In Major League Baseball, by anybody. That's my point. Is that this team is probably one of the worst offensive teams in all of baseball, and even they destroyed you because if your velocity is down, your command is down. Doesn't matter who you are, you're going to get hammered. Wants his velo to increase a little bit.
Another ticket too. You know, I'm going to be sitting 94. You know, that's who I've been. To me, that's more of the issue. You know, when I'm averaging 92.5, I'm down a tick and a half. You know, and you got to figure out what's going on. So to me, that's the bigger issue. You know, bigger issue, but getting through this, and now move forward.
You know, it's just sad to say. I sit here and there's no way the Mets are catching the Braves.
Well, the Mets aren't as good as the Braves.
Well, they're not as good, and now they trailed them considerably. So how do you come back? I mean, really, you're right. The Mets, and that's it's hard to sit here and admit that. The Mets are not as good as the Braves. And now they're 5 games behind them.
Yeah, but we talked about that before the season where we were picking our division winners. All you had to do was go up and down the lineup. I mean, it's not like that. I mean, look at the Braves pitching staff, too. I mean, it's not like the Braves are a better team.
Well,
it sucks to say that, but I mean, we have the same lineup, essentially. And we brought in, you know, a pitcher that hasn't pitched yet, and hopefully he's awesome. We'll find out today what he looks like. And Scherzer, the problem with Scherzer's start yesterday is it's just going to start feeding into the narrative that it wasn't just rosin.
Right, that he was cheating, yes.
Right, because velocity down, spin rate down, and he stunk. And he can blame the fact that he hadn't pitched and, you know, the rhythm of pitching out of the stretch. But, I mean, Dan said it. It sounded crazy when he said it.
But when he said it, it was crazy.
The time he said it, after watching the game, how he pitched,
like
that was crazy.
Like if he came out today and said, you know, I think Scherzer's done, I don't think anybody would freak out. He said it after he gave you 5 shutout innings.
Right.
So, I don't know, I still stand by the fact, and he might be right, but to say it in that moment I think was ridiculous.
Yeah, the reality of where he's at in his career, as good as he's been, is end of July, he'll be 39 years old. And at some point, you're going to start to slow down. And if his velocity drops, which it has, and he can't locate his pitches, I mean, you said it, and you're right. This is Major League Baseball, man. I don't care how bad you think your team is or your offense is. You start getting a guy who's throwing 92.5 and leaving it over the plate. I don't care how bad you are, you're going to hit it.
That's right. Even the dregs, and that, in Major League Baseball, that's what the Tigers are. They're the dregs of Major League Baseball. Even the dregs will figure you out.
I mean, Eric Haas in two games was 4-for-8, had a double, 2 home runs, and 6 RBI.
And you didn't even know who he was going into the game.
Well, that's his first 2 home runs of the season.
Exactly that. They don't hit the ball.
Well, when you put it on a tee right down the middle going 92.5, they'll hit it.
Well, that in fact is what's so frustrating.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Raymond was just... It wasn't even that he was trying to be hurtful, but he didn't even realize what just happened. So Raymond's... his mom is retiring at the end of the school year, which is like weeks away, right?
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
We're thrilled for her. And I was very nice about it. We were talking about it. I said, now, I know your dad doesn't like me. How does your mom feel about me? And you know, without having thought, you know what he says? She's indifferent towards you.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, why?
I think she probably lean. I think the lean is probably not like, but she's too nice of a woman.
She's indifferent towards me.
She doesn't like how you treat her baby.
I love her baby.
I don't know about that. I mean,
we just played a drop that said.
Right. You got to fire any one of us on the show.
Well, I'd fire Ray. Yeah, but see, you don't give the back thought into that. RJ has a baby on the way. Rick is actually on the show.
The back thought, you gave it no thought.
Because
you didn't even think about
it. Because
my
brain moves quickly. If I wasn't so intelligent and didn't move so quickly, I wouldn't have had that ready to go. You shouldn't take that personally. It was very well thought out in that nanosecond. And I think you'd agree with me. Of the four, you can't get rid of the two guys on the show, right? Like actually speaking continuously on the show. RJ has a baby on the way due in months. They have another appointment today.
Listen, logically, I can't argue
exactly
the point that you're making, but I could totally argue the fact that you didn't even take a split second.
So your whole issue with that is that it was responded to too quickly.
100%. You didn't even like give any consideration.
So had I said, well,
I don't want to fire Ray.
Right.
But you want
well, I don't
fire
want
me.
To fire Ray.
I don't. Yeah, but if your wife asks you,
damage is done.
Right. Do I look fat in this dress? And immediately you say yes, as opposed to, like, even if she looked fat, you don't say yes, or you massage the answer.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't understand, like if you don't think someone looks great in something, like every time your wife says to you, how do I look? You can't say great. Because
I'm not saying don't be honest. I'm saying how you deliver the honesty is
I think you're right.
Vitally important.
I'm confused. Did I ask how I look at any point in the
No, he's given an analogy, Ray.
You look terrific.
You do look terrific.
You always look good.
Bustling hair. You look sensational. But let's
you said you'd fire him, and he also said he was the dumbest on the show. I mean, why would she like you?
Well, I bring in fruit.
Yeah, I mean, you help feed him, which is very nice.
I nourish.
Yeah.
So, I attempted to get him a date.
We did do that.
So, I took him out for a nice dinner.
Well, but maybe that's why there's the indifference, though. Because
you think that bounces off the nastiness?
I think so. I think that maybe is what it is.
Mm-hmm. But your dad, like, full-on hate, right, Ray?
I didn't say that.
Well, all right, let me ask you then.
He listens every morning, probably okay. Listening right now.
Hi, Mr. Santiago. And what are his thoughts?
He tolerates you. He tolerates
so
you.
So one is indifferent and one tolerates. And now let me ask you this. What do they think about Rick?
You know what? I haven't asked their thoughts on Rick.
Oh.
I gotta get their thoughts on Rick. Because Rick generally, you know, doesn't go around wishing for my firing and destroying me for being a Cowboy fan.
I didn't. Well, I'll do that every day of the week. And just wait till you hear what Rick is going to be like this year with the Jets and the Cowboys.
That's only 1 week, though. It's not this perpetual hate.
Well, because you don't need to perpetually hate him when it comes to football.
Because I will win. He'll call me coach, and that'll be awesome.
Ray, I might root for your Cowboys in that game.
Nah, I don't think that's happening.
No, probably not.
I don't buy that.
All right, 1-800-919-3776. Spend a minute on the Yankees, and then we have callers lining up we'll get to as well. 800-919-3776. I don't know if you're going to agree with this. Did anybody ever count the Yankees out? Like, Brian Cash with it, don't count us out, as if we're like the Kansas City Royals.
No. Hold on one second.
Stop it.
There are plenty of people. If you solely focus on this show, no, we've never counted them out. But I also think he's speaking to the fan base that is nervous, a fan base that, I mean, we had Canty on the show when we were doing the show together, and they were 9-9, and you asked him, is it time to panic? And he's like, oh yeah, baby, we're breaking glass. They're 8.5 behind Tampa right now, going into a multiple series
yep,
against Tampa.
Yep. If you said, are they in real trouble with the division? I'd say absolutely. But don't count us out. Who's counting the Yankees out? I think they're half a game out of a wild card spot right now.
I think it doesn't look great for him right now. And he's trying to give the fan base some confidence.
If you're Detroit and you're 12-17 and the GM takes the mic and says, don't count us out, you know, that's a story. That's legitimate. But, I mean, do you think that the Astros are going to say, don't count us out? They have a worse record than the Yankees right now.
Yeah, but the Astros don't. I mean, the Astros, they're not concerned, though.
Well, I understand that there's
who
concern.
Who won the World Series last year?
The Astros.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, the Astros fans aren't panicked.
RJ, he's on the phone now. Oh, God. I want to ask him because he's a Yankees fan. Raymond, let me ask you. Do you have any issue with this don't count us out from Cashman?
It bothers me. It just seems like lip service coming from Cashman. I can't take anything he says seriously at this point in time.
Yeah, Rick, I think coming out now and just saying don't count us out, it sounds ridiculous.
I'm not saying that he had to say it. I'm just trying to explain to you why he probably said it.
I think it's another example of somebody saying what he thinks people want him to say.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a listen so people know what we're talking about. And then after that, he addresses Hal saying we're not done yet. I don't know who said they were done. Here's Cashman. Don't count us out.
Don't give up on us. That's all I can tell you. Don't count us out. Don't give up on us. We got a good group of people, player-wise, staff-wise, support staff-wise. It's a championship caliber operation from that perspective. But we're not currently flying at the level that, you know, we would have expected because we're missing some really important pieces, which I think anybody would acknowledge. But in the meantime, it's also part of it, and you got to withstand it. So we got to find a way to continue to tread some water at the very least and not slide too far out of it while we're waiting on some important pieces to come back.
Yeah, I just don't count us out is such a ridiculous thing to say. Nobody is counting anybody out.
Hold on one second, though. See, I'm less upset about don't count us out and more – more upset with the some things that we didn't expect to happen. That frustrates me actually more. Let's not sit here and pretend like we haven't already taken phone calls that Boone sucks, he should be fired. Cashman sucks, he should be fired. Both guys just signed new contracts.
Right.
And we had to talk people off the ledge. So maybe he's speaking for himself. Don't give up on me. Because I think there's plenty of New York Yankees fans that have already given up on Brian Cashman.
But he didn't say don't give up on me. He went through the entire organization.
Well, listen, maybe he's speaking for himself and Aaron Boone. I don't think there's a lot of... I mean, you can't afford, it's 162 games, to just give up now. What aggravates me is some things that we didn't expect. Yeah, but Luis Severino is always hurt. And
always.
Stanton is always hurt. Right? And no one liked the move for Josh Donaldson when you make it, and he's always hurt.
That's right. And putting Aaron Hicks is playing a lot. And Kiner Falefa, who's never played left field. It's like, yeah, when you're doing things like this, and you're expecting... I mean, if you continue to expect Stanton to give you 150 games, and he never does, whose fault is that?
That's his fault. That's on you.
Okay. That's his fault. And more from Brian Cashman, addressing Hal's, quote, "we're not done yet" comment.
Again, it takes two to tango. You engage other clubs. You try to make deals. You're not going to make a bad deal, for instance. So I think it's comments more like, hey, we're not done. We know where areas we want to get better at, but that doesn't mean that we're going to just do something that's not going to make any sense. So we had a lot of conversations that, there was some optimism that if things went out a certain way, but it didn't play out that way.
See, the thing that's frustrating for me with that is it feels like the Yankees are never willing to trade their young guys.
But that's all they did last deadline was make bad deals.
They were all bad.
It's not like you're going to go out and make bad deals. Well, that's exactly what you did. You went out and made bad deals.
All of them. I mean, Montas, awful. Trevino, terrible.
Trevino, yep. He's done.
I never know which is. So the catcher is Trevino?
Benintendi got hurt. He gave you nothing.
Yeah, he was hurt. You bring in Carr. I mean, their best deals were guys off the scrap heap.
It was Carpenter. Yeah, and he ended up getting hurt, and then you try to force him into the lineup. Yeah.
You see Gary Sanchez is done?
He's done.
Boy, that didn't end well. I never saw that coming.
That escalated quickly, yeah.
I mean, this was a guy you thought was going to be a forever catcher and was going to be an elite player.
It shows you how much of professional sports is mental.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like he's not super talented.
He's immensely, immensely talented.
That's the problem, man. I mean, once you start chipping away at that confidence, and that's what in New York. So same things happening with Zach Wilson. Say what you want. Like lack of experience. All those different things, but it's, I mean, you watch him play, and there's clearly something going on between his ears.
Oh, absolutely.
He didn't forget how to throw a football.
No. New York's tough, man. He's got no experience. New York's tough. Team wasn't great around. Like, there's a lot of pieces that go into this.
Dude, I am telling you, there were points in my career, and where I was so rattled mentally. Like, I would go out to handle a puck, and I would get the puck, and then all of a sudden, my mind would go blank, and I would have no idea what to do with it. And I spent my entire life handling the puck.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. When in between the ears gets damaged, you can really fall apart. You've seen it. You've seen second baseman that can't throw to first.
Right. You've seen guys. I mean, look how good Sonny Gray is right now.
Yeah. I mean, how many guys have you seen that are good elsewhere? They come to New York and they can't handle it. It's happened a lot.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Remember the day Debbie was here? I guess, was it last week, I believe, right?
Yeah, we took pictures. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. So I went, because I'm a gentleman, I walked her downstairs and walked onto the street and we parted our ways and said goodbye. But before we fully left, we ran into Michelle Charlesworth. You know who she is? ABC
no.
anchor.
Okay.
And yeah. Reporter. Very. Nice. So I was talking to Debbie, and Debbie, does the show with Michelle sometimes. So they were friendly and they were chatting, and it was a touch awkward because I was just standing there as the two of them were chatting. And then Debbie, because she's so nice, she said, oh, this is Dave. I was just up with him. And she's like, oh, hi. And then she goes, wait, Dave Rothenberg? I was like, yeah. She's like,
stop it.
I swear to God. She's like, such a big fan. My husband and I love the show.
Wow, that's great.
Love the show. I was like, oh, wow. And then she went from, not that she wasn't nice to me, she was fine, to syrupy sweet. Just so super nice.
Well, because you were the third wheel. Originally, you were the third wheel, and then all of a sudden she realized who you were, and now you're part of.
That's right. And then she's like, could I ever come up and sit in studio and see how it works? Wow. I was like, of course.
It's a very newsy name, last name. Very...
Charlesworth.
Yeah, very newsy.
Yeah, it's a nice name. She was lovely. And I feel like, unlike Raymond's parents, she might like me better than she liked you. And that's good, because I think that's the minority.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's different. I think it's different. I think a lot of people use you as kind of like gauge their fandom. And then I'm kind of like, I know I'm the manly man of the show.
Definitely.
Well, I think I'm nicer to people than you are.
Mm-hmm. I think it depends. I don't think I don't think in person.
Stop.
No.
Oh my.
Oh, you are. You take shots at everybody. I never heard anything like it.
Yeah, but they're nice shots, though.
They're not nice shots.
They make you feel like you're part of it.
No. No.
Here's the thing.
Everyone on edge is what you do.
No. Stop. I'm the guy that if we're standing at the elevator and you got to use the bathroom, I'll sit and wait.
That's
true. Take the elevator ride down.
And I got to go. I don't have time for that.
You're the guy that leaves.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'll do it again.
Of course you will. I mean, you took Debbie down. It's only because you guys were leaving at the same time.
Well, yeah, but I waited for her, and I was like, let's go down. Walked her down, walked her out. She said she was going to the cart to get a coffee, and I said, let me walk you over there. And we run into Michelle on the way, and boom, I find out she's a big fan. Very nice.
That is very nice.
All right, so I asked you the question. Mets or Yankees, where does your concern lie more with one over the other? Which one gives you the more concern right now?
More concern right now, the Mets.
Really?
Well, I don't know how it couldn't be the Mets. At least with the Yankees, you have no Judge right now. You have no Stanton. Like, they have, like, their lineup is a mess. But they also have a clear ace in Gerrit Cole. I think you can trust Nestor Cortez. With the Mets, I mean, this is their lineup.
This is what it is, yes.
This is what it is. There has to be some real concern about Max Scherzer now.
I agree with that.
And you haven't seen Verlander yet.
Right, and that changes today. But you have to assume that Verlander's going to be good, no?
Well, I assume that Max is going to be good,
no,
too.
It's a fair assumption. But I'm sorry, and maybe I'm wrong, I still stand by the fact that there's no way that Scherzer is going to be this pitcher for the year. He's too good. He's been too good. I think he'll be fine.
I understand what you're saying, but you still do have a rotation right now that's not giving you real... I mean, there's been one pitcher that's pitched into the seventh.
Isn't it amazing that guys that you're like, Jimmy Yacobonis?
He was great.
But that's my point. If I would have told you yesterday who your best pitcher would be, you had Lucchese, you had Scherzer, and then you had the bullpen, and that Yacobonis was going to be your best pitcher, you would have laughed at me.
And he was awesome. The other thing that aggravates me about Ottavino, too, is when he's good, and that's great. Hadn't pitched in a week. You put him in that spot.
All right.
It feels like an inevitability that if the person reaches first base, they'll end up on second.
Well, he doesn't hold runners on well.
Right.
I mean, it's not and hitting a batter. I mean, when you're not lights out to hit a batter in that situation, it's destructive is what it is.
Yesterday's doubleheader for me, physically and mentally, was destructive.
How did it physically hurt you?
It made me sick to my stomach.
You became physically ill. You vomited because of the Mets yesterday.
A dry heaved.
You dry heaved. RJ, do you believe he dry heaved when the Mets lost that second game yesterday?
That wouldn't be good. I'd probably say you want to get that checked out.
A dry heave?
Yeah, that might be something else.
I think, other than watching the guy, everything was fine. I had no issues. Really.
You didn't sneeze, right?
I did have a sneezing situation yesterday.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's terrific.
Was that in between games or after the second game?
There's no way it could be after the second game.
No, that was post. That was post. That was before sleepy time.
Oh, so it was after. So was it a frustration time then?
Yes.
Uh huh.
Yes, it was exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. So physically, it did affect you. The Mets doubleheader loss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Were you not your best?
I was terrific.
Oh, okay.
I'm a real pro. I don't let it.
You don't let that get in the way.
So you were able to. Yeah, you know, create channels. You're not like, oh, exit velo problem. Let me also worry about this. You were able to kind of period end this sentence, start a new one.
Yeah, yeah. Exit velo was not an issue.
So it was not holding the puck too long, not knowing what to do with its situation.
It wasn't the yips. He focused. He got through.
Right. Three sneezes.
Let's
down
go.
Business. How much of the hockey did you watch last night? Any?
Almost none.
Can I just say this, and I don't want to get too... I mean, we're not going to talk a lot of hockey today.
Let's do that hockey.
Devils did not have a good
awful,
game.
Awful, right?
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, they had one shot in the first period. Schmidt ends up getting pulled. Carolina is... I mean, they jumped all over him early, but Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Now, I know it's not easy because they play on the West Coast, but you were talking about one of the greatest duos ever.
Yes, but it gets lost because it takes place in Edmonton.
Draisaitl had four goals last night.
It's awesome. Those guys are their power play is the best I've ever seen a power play ever.
Their power play is clicking at 58%.
I understand that. If those guys played in a big, you know, American city, it would be nonstop conversation. As it is, everybody knows who they are. You imagine if those guys were Rangers?
No. No, the city would be on fire with
those two. On absolute fire is what it would be. I wasn't ready to watch hockey last night.
I understand. Well, listen, the Devils, it didn't feel like the Devils were ready either.
No. But you know what? If you're a Devils fan, you can't be too nervous.
No, I think, I mean, you listen to some of the Rod Brind'Amour sound after the game. He kind of figured that too. Hard-fought seven-game series, quick turnaround on the road in Carolina. Carolina kind of sit there waiting. Yeah, they'll be fine.
I mean, Rangers lost game one to Carolina last year too.
The Devils got abused in the first two games against the Rangers.
Right. The only thing that really frustrates me is that Schmidt was terrible.
Well, I don't think that Schmidt was terrible.
No?
No.
They just gave up too many chances?
Yeah, it wasn't his fault. Carolina's a good team, man.
Very good team. Tough place to play, too. Fans are
and their structure,
maniacal.
Yeah, they're really well. Brind'Amour's a really good coach, man.
He's better than Gallant, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, you want to get to some of the calls?
Listen, you know how I feel about calls.
I know you adore the call. Let's go to Anthony in Woodbridge. Anthony, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Guys,
what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good. I just want to talk about the Yankees real quick, and then one thing about New York fans in general. I think the Yankees will be fine. You know, they're injured, and you got some young guys in there, and guys who don't really deserve to be in the starting lineup playing right now. And, you know, you got guys like Cole and Cortez. When they pitch, you know, you're going to have, like, a better outing.
Well, you say like that, but Nestor Cortez has not been great.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's somebody that I feel like you can trust more than, like, the other teams that are going through slumps right now because of, you know, injuries and stuff like that. I just feel like New York sports fans in general kind of badly affect their teams. I mean, you see people all the time go from the Yankees to other teams and have less pressure on them because on a smaller market and do a lot better. So I feel like New York fans kind of overreact sometimes. It kind of hurts their teams mentally, and that kind of rattles them sometimes.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. I think the media and the fans and the scrutiny and the attention does not work for a lot of guys.
Yeah, but ultimately I think it's the expectations. Like, when you put on those pinstripes, the expectation is you go out and perform at a World Series level.
But, I mean, Joey Gallo, who was never great and just thought he was going to come here, but he was way better on Texas and now way better on Minnesota than he was with the Yankees.
He's scooping balls at first base. I mean, you name it.
Like, he's playable now. He was unplayable with the Yankees.
Yeah, but we talked about it earlier, man. I mean, once that mental part of the game starts to go, I mean, it's tough to slow that down. Especially if you're someone that pays attention to everything going on around you. You start getting in, you go down the Twitter rabbit hole, you start listening to sports talk.
Yeah,
radio,
you read the back
newspapers.
Of the newspaper, yeah. There's a lot of ways that you can go south here. This nobody's denying it. It's a hard play. This is not Oklahoma City where if you say something or write something badly, you now have to retract it and everybody gets angry at you.
Yeah, like they're happy that you're on their team.
I told you the story when I went to Raleigh, and I did like one of my first shows, and NC State lost. They blew like a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, and I took them to task, and I finished the show, and everybody's like, why'd you do that? What were you doing? I said, well, what do you mean, what was I doing? Like, you went right after the team. I was like, they blew a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Yeah, but you can't go after the team like that. Like, I got sat down and spoken to.
Well, I think there's plenty of people that listen to the show and think that, I mean, sometimes when you're critical of the Giants...
Well, listen.
They get aggravated.
If you deserve criticism, you're going to get it.
Right. Just being honest. What will you say?
I'm sorry. I don't know another way. I'm not going to give you another way. And I think you're similar to that also. If the Islanders stink, if the Mets stink, if the Jets stink, you're going to sit here and you're going to. Isn't that what you want? I mean, honestly, if you're a sports fan, do you want a show that's just going to, all sunshine and roses with everything?
No, of course not. Absolutely not. I will say this, though, to that last caller's point. Having been a part of, again, bad teams and being booed and everything else. People not showing up. Booing your own team, and I know at the moment you're frustrated and you're paying a lot of money and it's your right to boo, you know, if and when you want. It does not help the player that you're booing. It actually detracts.
So let me ask you this. Joey Gallo, we'll use him, Aaron Hicks, right, as an example. If you're a Yankees fan, and these guys are hitting 160 and dropping balls and not hustling. Like, what other outlet is there for you to do but when they soil themselves or embarrass themselves or make awful plays other than boo? Like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, let me ask you the question. Mm-hmm. What's the goal here? And I don't care if you like Aaron Hicks.
The goal is to express your displeasure.
No, okay. No, I'm not saying the goal of booing. Oh, but okay. What is the goal? Like, what in your mind, what are you hoping? Outside of showing your displeasure, what are you hoping the booing leads to?
I guess you hope the booing leads to a turnaround.
Right. And everyone wants their players, even if you don't like them, to have success, because their success equals your success. Team wins. Everyone's happy. All I'm saying to you is, for someone that's coached, it doesn't help the player. And on top of that, it's exactly what the opposing team wants to hear. There's nothing better than going to play in someone else's building and the crowd goes silent or they start booing their own team.
I understand that. But again, my retort to that is, what if you're a Yankees fan and Aaron Hicks is dropping a ball in left field, what are you supposed to do?
No, you can boo. I'm not saying don't boo. I'm just letting you know it doesn't help.
Okay.
So it's fine. You're upset. Boo, that's great. But, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone wants the same thing. They want Aaron Hicks wants to play great.
Mm-hmm.
The fan wants Aaron Hicks to play great because he's playing, and him playing great would be good for your team. You're not going to get the desired outcome. In the moment, it feels great to boo him,
right?
But it's not
helping. It's kind of cathartic, you know?
Yeah, it is, but it's counterintuitive to what you're really trying to do, which is...
Is to boo him, yes.
Yeah, Aaron Hicks plays well.
But I don't want to go round and round and round, and I'm not saying you're not answering the question. I don't, like, if Aaron Hicks stinks, what do you just, unless there's silence, unless you say nothing at all, I don't know what I don't know what you're supposed to do.
No, and I'm fine with it. I understand it. I'm just letting you know from the player's perspective, it doesn't help.
I would understand why, yes.
And it only actually feeds into the momentum of the other team.
Yeah, because when you're the other team, you probably feel like you're winning, you're getting to them.
Yes. Yes, if you can make make the opposing building go quiet or start booing their own team, you've accomplished what you're trying to accomplish.
That's right, and it probably makes you feel better about yourself and puts you in a better frame of mind. I would agree with that, but again, I don't know what you're supposed to do if you're a fan. If you're at the game, you spend hard-earned money, you pay $40 for parking, you spend $100 on food, you're in the jersey, you got the seats, you spent all your time, and the guy goes out there and stinks. It's harder rather than easier to say, oh, you know what? Let's be gentle, right? Sports fans are not gentle here.
No. That's what makes it difficult. I mean, that's what makes it tough.
It's a tough place to play.
But it's a great place to win.
It's a great place to win. It's a great place to play. It's an awful place to not play well.
Yes, it is. That
right?
is correct.
Let's go to Wes in East Hanover. Good morning, Wes. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, company. I think how you determine, how you define concern may answer your question. So if you're the Yankees, I think you're concerned because the division seems out of reach. If you're the Mets, you didn't come in expecting to win the division. You expected to get in the playoffs, and your starting lineup of pitchers, your rotation, would give you a battle with anybody, including the Braves and the Padres, right? But what you have is a lineup, a starting rotation, that is not producing at the level that you expected, and you have real fear because of their age and because of some of the things that have happened, like kind of fluky a little bit. So if I'm a fan of one of the two, I'm most concerned about the Mets.
Yeah, I thought you brought that. I mean, listen, you break that down nicely because you're right. I mean, when you look at what Tampa's doing right now and how far you are behind, I mean, winning the division right now at the moment seems like we don't love our chances. But I'm not even concerned about winning the division. I just think as a Mets fan, when you look at what this team did this offseason, it's essentially the same lineup with the additions of, Beatty and Alvarez now. And it was replacing... three-fifths of your starting rotation. And my problem with that is that in the last two series, the most important two series of the season last season was the series against the Braves and the playoff series against the Padres. You had your rotation set up perfectly, exactly like you wanted it, in both series, and it wasn't good enough. And now you have Scherzer, who wasn't great to end the season, get off to a bad start this season.
Right, he's worse this year than he was last year.
Right, Verlander hasn't pitched yet.
Quintana's out for at least half the season.
and the lineup's the same.
That's what's so frustrating. And you know what? The Yankees did the same thing. Right? They brought back the same guys expecting different results. Now, I know Rodon hasn't even made an appearance yet, and that's another thing. He's going to now undergo further testing.
Yeah, who knows when he'll be back or if he'll be
Who
back.
Knows if he's going to play at all this season, if he's going to pitch at all this season.
That would be a...
That would be catastrophic.
Yes.
Have you ever had where a team signs up like a high-priced free agent and he doesn't play at all?
Well, I mean, yeah, KD didn't play, but he was coming back from
Achilles
surgery.
But they knew that. I mean, where you spend that kind of money on a guy and he doesn't play at all? I don't know.
I would have to actually sit and think about that.
By the way, as concerned as you are as a Mets fan, they're half a game out of the wild card.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not concerned to the point where I don't think they can make the playoffs. I went into the season thinking that Atlanta was a better team.
They are a better team.
And, Philly just gets Bryce Harper back. They lose last night on a walk-off grand slam. But I just mean, like, it's the risk you run when you take the same team, the same lineup, and you run it back. If it wasn't good enough last year, what makes you think it's going to be good enough this year?
I didn't think this team was going to win the whole thing, but I still expect them to get into the postseason. How about this, by the way? Because you're a guy, you love run differential, right?
I love it.
No, nobody loves run differential more than you.
Well, I think it's a good stat.
So listen to this. Miami, 16-15. Same record as the Mets, right?
Yep.
You have any idea what their run differential is?
16-15. The only reason you bring it up because it can't be great. What are the Mets right now? What's the Mets run differential?
Mets 16-15. They're plus one.
Plus one. I'll say the Miami Marlins run differential is minus... 18.
RJ, you care to play? Marlins run differential. Mets 16-15 plus one. Padres 17-15 minus three. Cubs 15-15 plus 43. Marlins 16-15.
If it were positive. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd ask a question.
Well, you don't know. I can be optimistic.
I don't think you would be.
Hmm.
I like you. I don't think you would be.
Look at me as a negative guy?
No. I just think you're an opportunist and you look for content. I appreciate that. Okay. I'm going to say they are minus... What would be surprising? They're one game over. Minus 22.
Minus 22. Raymond, you want to dip your toe into the game?
For some reason, I think it's lower.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say minus 25.
Minus 25. The Marlins at 16-15 are minus 49 runs.
How?
Minus 49. That's jarring is what that is.
No, that is jarring. How many runs have they scored?
105.
Wow.
In 31 games.
How'd they win so many games?
I guess their pitching has been good. I don't really know. They've allowed 154.
That's the problem right now when you look at the Mets. And their run differential, you said, was what, plus one?
Plus one.
The starting pitching was supposed to be the strength of this team.
And it hasn't been. You're right.
And it has not been.
Runs scored in the National League, nobody has less runs scored than the Marlins. Nobody.
They scored less runs than the Nationals?
Nationals have 111, which is second worst.
As we're going around the league here, did you see what Wander Franco did last night?
Yes, it's amazing. So for all of you that didn't see it, he's playing shortstop. Ball hit to him. He takes it in, and then casually, like he's warming up in between innings, flips the ball up to himself, catches it, and then throws him over to first base and easily gets the guy out.
It might be the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen on a baseball field.
But it was awesome.
Yeah.
No?
I'm not sure there's a lot of people in baseball that play think it was awesome.
Run faster.
Like, you can't. He knew he had time.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.